This is the High School Football America podcast for April 15th, 2024. I'm Jeff Fisher. The High School Football America podcast is brought to you by GameStrat, America's premier sideline instant replay system with outstanding reliability. It has faster speed than Huddle Sideline, and GameStrat has awesome customer service. The hundreds making the switch, those coaches are telling me we're doing it because they have great customer service at GameStrat. They also have different plans priced right for every coach's budget. And if you mention High School Football America when you call the good folks at GameStrat, they will give you a High School Football America friends and family discount. To get a demo, go to GameStrat.com, or you can click on the GameStrat banner ad that's located on every page of HighSchoolFootballAmerica.com. Well, after a couple of weeks off for the Easter holiday, we are back with Championship Chat as we journey around America talking to those guys that won state championships last year. No matter how big or how small, we've been talking about them all, and it's been a lot of fun to do this. Championship Chat today stops in a beautiful part of the country, Gulf Shores, Alabama. Now, people may say, I don't know about Gulf Shores. I'm going to have Coach Mark Hudspeth talk about that in a second. He's the head coach at Gulf Shores. You may recognize that name. He's been around football for a long time, the college game, and now he's in the high school ranks, and didn't take him long to win a state championship at Gulf Shores 5A style last year in Alabama, first for the school ever. He did it with a freshman quarterback. I think the guy knows what he's doing, and he's on the line right now to talk about a very special 2023. We'll look ahead to 2024 and just have some fun, and I may even ask you to tell the listeners around the country, Coach, why Gulf Shores is a very pretty place. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, absolutely, Jeff. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, well, you know, when I moved to the South, I live in Atlanta now. You know, I was told about L.A. as I drove down to Destin one time. So before we get into football here, it is a pretty place. I've been there. Why don't you tell the listeners around America how pretty Gulf Shores is and why it's a neat place to coach high school football?
Well, you know, if a lot of people in the Southeast, and yes, in the North, especially in the northern states, we got a lot of what we call snowbirds that come down and stay about 3 months out of the winter time to escape the winter up north and come down to Gulf Shores. And it's a vacation spot for a lot of people. Our high school is about a quarter of a mile from the Gulf of Mexico, so close that we take our team to the beach, and we use the sand, you know, the beach as one of our sand pits. We sort of brag that we've got the best sand pit in the country as far as training. And but it's just a quality of life here. It's just amazing. You know, the weather here year-round, just about 11 months out of the year, is really, really nice. And we're here at the beach, and we're close to Pensacola. We're right between Pensacola and Mobile, so you've got, airports close by to get in and out of. But it's not a huge place, so, it's not overtaken by mega structures and businesses, and so it's a great place to call home, and it's just sometimes hard to believe, you know, I get a chance to live here in Gulf Shores and coach football. And then obviously this weekend I'm out on my boat taking my kids out on the boat, the jet skis all around the Gulf, and not necessarily in the Gulf, but the back bays and things like that. And so we really enjoy the lifestyle here, enjoy the sun, enjoy the water.
Good football coach and not a bad Chamber of Commerce guy with that little pitch there, Coach. Nice job on that. But now let's do the thing that you do very, very well, which is coaching football. Coming over from the college ranks, North Alabama, University of Louisiana at Lafayette, Austin Peay. And then a couple of years ago, you get the call to come back to the high school ranks, which I don't think you had done since your first stint at your alma mater back in Mississippi. What got you back into the high school ranks?
You know, my whole life in college, you're spending your whole life, you're coaching everybody else's kids, you're away from home, you're never at home, whether it's recruiting on weekends, it's junior days, or it's weekend practices, weekend games, camps, you name it. And it's just, it's a grind. And I did it for 30 years, and it takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on families. And This is a place that we've had a vacation home now going on about 10 years. And a funny story, when I was at UL at Lafayette, we we bought a vacation home down here, and I paid for half of it down with my bowl bonus.
Nice.
And then fast forward 3 years later, when we got let go at Louisiana Lafayette, I paid it off with my bow. So it worked out okay both ways. And so this was our vacation home. So when we're at Mississippi State, we're at Austin Peay for the last couple of years. After that, you know, this was our vacation home in the summertime, spring break, any long weekends that we got. You know, we're coming straight to Gulf Shores and down here to the island and enjoying life. And then when this job opened, they knew I lived here, and just someone out of the blue just, I think, threw it out there to see if I might have some interest. And be honest with you, I was about to the point in my career and where the college game was going now with the NIL and the portal and things like that. It was just the game had changed. And I said, this might be a great chance because I got three young kids. They're all in middle school now. And so I'm getting a chance to coach them as well as all the other kids. And so, and on top of that, spend some great time with the family and enjoy this lifestyle. And it's been a great, great opportunity.
Yeah, and very, very quickly built a program that didn't have a lot of success into a state championship program. Mark Hudspeth is on the line with us. He's the head coach at Gulf Shores in Alabama, Southern Alabama, right on the ocean. And the Dolphins won the 5A championship, first for the school last year ever, which is awesome. And let's talk about, you know, what you did to kind of take it from, like I said, I think it's fair to say not a lot of success there to being on top of the ranks in 5A in the state of Alabama. What were some of the foundation, you know, the big building blocks you put down to get yourself to where you are now?
Well, the number one thing is when I met with the superintendent here, and he understands the importance of athletics and especially, you know, football. And I sort of laid out what I felt like it would take to win a championship at a place that really hadn't had a lot of success. And I said I wanted him to think outside the box. I said, you know, I, in order for us to be successful, I think we're going to need to do things differently than just anybody else. And I said, you know, I want to be able to hire an outstanding coaching staff. And I said, we can do that here because of the attraction of the quality of life, the attraction of the Gulf of Mexico, this great community here in Gulf Shores. And he understood, and he bought in. He said, okay, we'll give this a shot. And so, believe it or not, I went out my first year, my defensive coordinator in year one, I went out and hired Brian Van Gorder, defense coordinator for Auburn, Notre Dame, Atlanta Falcons. He was actually working at Bowling Green as an assistant. And so I gave him a call, and I said, listen, this is what I can pay you. You don't have to teach. You can come down here, live, and get to coach football and get to get on the boat. And he said, I'm in. And then I hired Kenny Edenfield. He had just wrapped up a stint as the offensive coordinator at South Alabama. Before that, he was the OC 7 years for Neil Brown at Troy. And before that, he was at Tulsa and then with me at North Alabama. And then I hired Mitch Rodrigue, our offensive line coach, and he was my offensive line coach 7 years at Lafayette, Southern Miss, and then the previous 2 years, he was the O-line coach for the Colorado Buffaloes.
Oh, jeez.
And so I got him to come, and so we were just able to bring in a great staff, and then, you know, obviously with that type of staff, you know, you got a lot of people that want their kids to have that opportunity. And we had some kids that wanted to come join our program. And then obviously coaching up our current kids. And it just really worked out well. And our staff that we have here, along with the coaches are brought in, are really good. And to be honest with you, for the coaches that we have that were already here and some of the young coaches, learning from Brian Van Gorder, Kenny Edenfield, Mitch Rodrigue, it's like a coaching clinic every day.
It is.
You know, you're sitting in staff meetings, you're watching film, and see, our coaches, they don't teach. And so, and the neat thing about it too, Jeff, believe it or not, they allow me to hire three graduate assistants at the high school level. So we have three young coaches that get paid just to be our assistants. So I have my own GA, Brian has a GA, and Kenny Edenfield has a graduate assistant coach. And so it's six of us down here, football all day long, preparations, film preparations, practice preparations, helping our kids find, you know, scholarships and college homes, and just every day doing something to help our program. And as you know, that makes a difference, because if I was teaching all day, and I've done that, you know, and then the bell rings at 3 and I run down, grab my whistle, and I go to practice, you know, I'm not near as prepared as I could be if I, if I'd have been at the field house all day preparing for practice.
You probably are the perfect person to ask this question to, and I've been saying this, so I moved back to Georgia, let's see, 5 years ago, I guess, and one of the questions I always get is, you know, what's football like? I've lived in Southern California, I've lived in Pennsylvania, the Midwest, all that, you know, and you know what, I don't really talk about the game, because the game's the game. You might have more athletes here, a little bit more speed there, et cetera, et cetera, but what I think sets the game apart, and always has, is the guys that want to coach at the high school ranks, and when you get support from the whole state for the profession, I think it makes a difference. And when I moved back here in whatever that was, 2018, one of the first things I really recognized was that Georgia and Alabama were stepping up their game when it came to respect of the profession and taking care of it. And I'm just curious, as a guy that's been at the highest of levels, what it's like to be in a state right now where I think, at least as an outsider right now, it looks like doing everything right to keep that talent, that coaching talent, in-house.
Yeah, I think our state right now, football is thriving in the state of Alabama, and it has a lot to do because of the coaching in the state. They're able to retain a lot of good coaches, and they're able to attract a lot of good coaches from other states because, you know, the stipends for coaches are much higher here than they are in some neighboring states. And, you know, just some of the teaching loads may be less. And I think the administrators understand, you know, people don't realize, and it's unfortunate, some principals and administrators in some states do not realize what it takes just to be a coach. I think they just give it lip service. They say, this guy wants to coach, but they don't know what all this guy does just to be on the field with his kids. You know, they expect him to teach all day, but they don't know he's got to cut the fields, paint the fields, help in the equipment room, order equipment, get the helmets out, decal the helmets, get ready for practice, you know, practice schedules, practice scripts, deal with parents. You know, it just goes on and fundraise. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And for some states to not realize that and to pay these coaches very minimum, and not to have very few preparation hours throughout the day, that's disappointing. Mm-hmm. But you can see the states that do get it, it is making a difference. And I think more states should probably look at the Alabama, and I would think maybe the Georgia model, because of the commitment they're making, not just to football, but I think to athletics in general. Our athletic program here at Gulf Shores is outstanding all across the board, and it's because our coaches are well taken care of, and they have plenty of time in their preparation. They have some, you know, prep periods, off periods for the ones that teach other sports, so they have time to do some preparation and to be prepared. But it's so much that coaches go through just to coach the game that they love. And I wish some other states would really hurry up and catch up to some of the other states that are doing it, I think, the right way.
Yeah, amen on that. People that have been listening to this this show for the last, whatever we've been doing it now, 12, 13 years, get my drift, which is, you know, if anybody would ever take the time to divide in some of these states what the coaches are getting per hour, I don't know if it makes a penny or two at the end of the day. There's that much.
Yeah, you would love for some of the principals, you know, you hear all the stories right now about what's going on in the state of Florida, you know, how they're so underpaid, overworked, and you got so many dedicated coaches that love the game, that's outstanding coaches, and you just wish those principals and those administrators just would, hey, bring them with you one day, just spend one day in your shoes. And it would change their mindset, because I just think for the most part in other states that they are just clueless when it comes to what it takes to be a good coach and to do it the right way. Because imagine this, if it was not high school athletics, imagine this, if it wasn't high school coaches, and every day at 3 o'clock, you turned out every kid on that campus onto the streets. Mm-hmm. You think about where this country would be if it wasn't for a football coach that had them until 6 o'clock. holding them accountable, teaching them discipline, making them do it again when it wasn't right. Do it again. Nope, not good enough. Do it again. Get your locker clean. Watch your language. You know, just teaching these guys and really being father figures, because, you know, so many don't have that father figure at home. And then the ones that do, a lot of times, are not being the parent that they should be. Mm-hmm. And that's where us coaches, we come into play. And be honest with you, we got a lot of players on our team that they need football worse than football needs them. And because if it wasn't for football, I don't know where they would get any work ethic, any discipline. And that's what these coaches are teaching across the nation, way more than just X's and O's.
Yeah.
And I'm just proud, as you know, that's something that we can add to this great country we have. Because if it wasn't for high school sports, I don't know where our country, we would be even worse off than some of the directions we're heading already. So I just really so much very appreciative of all these coaches across the country.
Yeah, no, that's we've always said high school football America is built on the backs of coaches, knowing that we respect what you do. I always like to. I haven't told this probably in about 10 years. So I'm going to tell the story real quickly. I think you'll appreciate it. It builds on what you just said there. My eyes were put wide open when I was in Los Angeles in 2010. I think it was Paul Knox at Dorsey High School. Program to put out a lot of NFL players, such as Keyshawn Johnson. And Coach Knox didn't have two nickels to rub together, and we helped get him some stuff that helped the weight room and all that. Didn't do that for publicity. We just wanted to do it. And I got to learn from Coach Knox that 61% of his kids were in foster homes. To your point on being second fathers, or in most cases, in that case, first fathers, it was a real eye-opener to me. And I just always like bringing back that story, because you guys do so much more than X's and O's, and yes, wins and losses, you know, that's part of it, but it goes beyond that. So thank you for doing that, Coach. Let's talk about last year, the state championship. Don't have a lot of experience at quarterback, and usually you need some experience at quarterback at the high school level, right? It's good to have a big offensive line and all that, but you had a freshman. So tell me a little bit about what your expectations were going into last year, and when you finally kind of had it click in your brain, like, hey, this team might have a chance to make a run.
You know, we went into the spring, into the summer, with three quarterbacks. We had an upcoming senior, we had an upcoming junior, and an upcoming freshman. And we let all three of them obviously compete. And at the end of the day, when the dust settled, the freshman won the position. And so, you know, that was a decision that we made. And we knew we had a talented team coming back, and this was going to be a critical decision. And and for us to choose a ninth grader over an upcoming senior or an upcoming, you know, junior says a lot about the kid. And the upcoming senior, he also did play an awful lot, had a good role, and was a great team player. And but the ninth grader, obviously, at the end of the day, won the spot and led our team to a state championship. And he's going to be a future prospect, and he's a coach's son. And most of the time, these coaching kids, the coaches out there, they know, they get it, because they grow up in the field house. They're around the game. They understand things a little quicker than everybody else. They can process information a little bit quicker than everybody else. And so and that's just an example of who he is.
And let's get his name in there, and some of the kids too, the leaders on that team. We can't do the whole roster, but we always like on our podcast here to get those leaders in there that led to that. So roll some names off the tongue there for me.
Well, Judd Harris was the quarterback, and like I said, he was a ninth grader. And then, you know, our player that was really our bell cow is a kid named Ronnie Royal. He signed with North Carolina State, so he'll be attending North Carolina State in the fall and on football scholarship, and he had a great year. He's going to play nickel for those guys, but he didn't come off the field for us in 5A football. He was our only player that played both ways. And so on top of that, we had three other kids assigned Division I. Kingston Lowe signed at North Alabama. Otto Brewer signed at Southeastern Louisiana. And then Jackson, he signed at Arkansas State at wide receiver. And so we had four outstanding players, and we've got, you know, quite a few still coming back. So on that team, added to those four, we've got one player that's being recruited by every SEC school, Jamichael Garrett. And then our running back, Colin Wilson, he's committed to Cincinnati right now. So we've got some good players, and we've got a lot of good role players also. And those role players are the ones, to me, though, they're just as important So they're the glue. They're the ones that, you know, they're in, you've been in your program a long time, and then you add some, you know, you have some talented players that, you know, sort of the icing on the cake that sort of give you some advantages. And so that's sort of where we are. We got a pretty big roster. When we started, we had 37 players on the roster 3 years ago, and we're going to come into spring ball with about 101 here next week.
Wow. Depth is one of the keys, too, in this day and age in high school football. Mark Hudspeth is on the line, Gulf Shores head coach. Won the 5A championship in Alabama last year. I'm going to wrap things up here with a couple of questions. But, Coach, you touched on this before, and I think because we have such a wide – we have a diverse listener. We've got the coaches that love listening. We've got the parents. We've got the kids, right? And you touched on the way the game is changing at the college level, the NIL and all that. You might be the most appropriate person to take a moment or two and give some sage advice to the listeners out there about the changing landscape. What do you think should be first and foremost in people's mind when it comes to the way things are changing?
Well, you know, there's a lot of positives for the way some of the things that are changing, because kids are having an opportunity to make a little bit of money because what they're doing is much different than a lot of other sports. And I tell my rec department here in Gulf Shores, you know, a lot of times it's hard to find rec football coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, you coach rec basketball, you got eight little kids that show up, they're 10 years old, and you got you a basketball and an air-conditioned gym, and you just start off right away putting them through some drills. You know, but you take a rec football coach, and he's got 25 or 30 football players that show up, and they're ready to football practice. Well, you got to size them in shoulder pads, helmets, chin strap, mouthpiece, pad, girdle, cleats, and then you got to strap on. You got to teach them how to buckle their helmet. You got to teach them how to do their shoulder pads, tie their pants. I mean, it's way more to it in football. Then you're out in the heat. You got the conditioning aspect. You got 11 players on the field at one time. You got special teams. It's a challenge, you know, coaching rec sports. And so with that being said, though, I'm glad these kids are having opportunities to make some money, but I don't want, and I just feel like it's gotten a little bit out of hand to where there's no balance between teams. You know, the teams that have the most money are obviously going to have the biggest advantage. And you wish that they can finally get to it. I think they're going to have to. They're going to have to come up with obviously with some type of salary cap like the NFL. You know, college football right now is the only sport out there that doesn't have some type of salary cap. You know, they really has turned into the wild, wild west. They can just recruit how they want to recruit, and players can transfer as many times as they want to transfer. And the days of watching a freshman show up at your campus and you're excited about this freshman receiver and you watch him develop for 4 years and then you cheer him on his senior year and you clap for him on senior night, and those days are gone.
Gone.
you know, now you're like, okay, who's on the roster this year? You know, you start looking at your team. Okay, I hope this guy's good. I heard about him. You know, it's just it's changed. And For some for the good, because I think kids deserve a little bit of the money that the schools and the NCAA's making. They're putting in the work. They're putting their bodies on the line. But I do wish there was a way to make it more uniform, because it's also hard now to manage a roster. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, you're in the locker room, and I'm a starter, and they just signed this freshman kid to a lucrative NIL deal. He's making four times what I'm making. I'm getting like $5,000, and he's making more than me, and I was a two-year starter. And so you create a lot of animosity in that locker room that coaches are having to deal with and obviously massage and put up with. And it makes it tough on the coaches. And I've talked to so many head coaches, Jeff, that come through here recruiting, because they all are interested in like, "Hud, man, well, how'd you decide to get into high school?" You know, man, I'm looking to maybe do something in the next few years. You wouldn't believe the interest in the people. Give me more business cards here than you would believe.
You could have a large staff.
Let me tell you, as soon as Brian Van Gorder leaves, I will have 20 college Division I coordinators in line ready to take this job.
I have no doubt about that.
But it's all the head coaches now, they're just fundraisers, you know. Mm-hmm. they're on the phone all day with boosters. They're doing booster dinners. It's all about trying to find money for your NIL. And the ones that are out there raising the money and doing a great job at NIL, they're getting the best players. But you look at Chip Kelly. He just left and went to Ohio State. Probably a lot of that had to do with that. Mm-hmm. You know, he considered, I heard him say it on TV the other night watching the Ohio State spring game. He loves coaching ball. You know, he wants to be in the meetings. He wants to be a ball coach. And then sometimes you lose that. You're not that anymore. And I'd gotten that way a little bit too. And so now I'm back to coaching ball, talking football, doing what I love to do. And I'm not having to worry about raising money for the NIL and, you know, finding a transfer. And, you know, it's really changed. And yeah. I hope that they can finally get some common ground to make it a better, more competitive environment.
Yeah, I agree. And I did, the one positive I pulled out of what you just said there, and I've said this to other people, is the fact that you may find some of these quality coaches that are up at that next level looking to come back, especially in states that respect that high school coach. I think it could be good for the game because you're going to have those guys coming back down into the roots of it. Mark Hudspeth is on the line. We're going to wrap up with a look forward, coach. As we said, 5A championship. Came into it and not a whole lot of success there. Now the job as a coach is to make sure that the kids remember that was 23 and this year is 24. What are you talking to the kids about to make sure they're focused on the new year?
Well, obviously, new year, new opportunity. Our first year here, we were 6A. We went 6-4 and our first year in 6A. And then we dropped to 5A this past year. And then obviously went 15-0 and won the 5A state championship. Now we're going back up to 6A, another big challenge. A lot of great football in 6A. Down here in South Alabama, 6A football is probably better than 7A football at the end of the day. And it's going to be a huge challenge for us, especially losing 24 seniors, which is a big senior class, all contributed or started. So we've got a little bit of a rebuild, but we've got some quality players coming back and some good young talent. So we've got some players coming up through the younger groups that are going to be outstanding. They're just young right now, but it's going to be fun watching these kids develop over the next few years.
Coach, thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations on all the success, and thank you for all the things you've done for kids, no matter what level, through the decades. And I have no doubt that the community is going to have another fun year with you and your staff at the helm there. So thanks for taking the time and joining us today.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having us on. We really appreciate all you guys do for high school sports, high school football. And, man, we follow you guys. You guys do a great job promoting this great game throughout the country. Much appreciated. If you're ever down this way, come see us. We got some shrimp on me anytime you're down this way.
Thank you. It's been a while, probably since I left Pennsylvania, my granddad passed, that I've been out in a boat. So I may have to take you up on that and come over there and get a little fishing in too. You got my appetite whetted there at the beginning when you're talking about that.
And I was going to tell you one last thing too. You wouldn't believe the number of coaches that come down here and vacation, you know, for spring break or the summer from all across the country. And so we have quite a few that call and say, hey, coach, I'm going to be in town with my family for a few days. You care if I come over and watch OTAs in the morning to watch workouts? If you got time, talk a little ball. Anybody out there, guys, I know they're across the country listening to this, and, man, you're planning on vacation and somewhere close to Gulf Shores, love for you to come by, reach out to us. We love talking ball, love meeting new coaches and exchanging ideas, and we'd love to see you. So just drop us a line if you're ever down this way, Gulf Shores, Alabama.
I have a feeling you're going to get some people taking you up on that. And, Coach, thank you for the kind words about us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, and have a great day.
And before we go here, we want to remind everyone that we're starting to release the best players around America in the class of 2025. We're doing it by position. Today at highschoolfootballamerica.com, we released the top 150 high school quarterbacks in the class of 2025. Check it out at highschoolfootballamerica.com. And while you're there, why not check out the 4,000 academic All-Americans that we released over the last week and a half? That's all on our website. And the High School Football America podcast is brought to you by NFL Play 4. football. Coaches, don't forget to check out playfootball.nfl.com for some great resources to help you improve in the coaching profession. That's the High School Football America Podcast, and I'm Jeff Fisher.